This night was one of the most beautiful I have ever seen. The sky without a single cloud to mar the perfect brilliance of the stars, clustered so thickly together that in places there seemed almost more dazzling points of light set in the black sky than background of sky itself. And each star seemed, in the keen atmosphere, free from any haze, to have increased its brilliance tenfold, and to twinkle and glitter with a staccato flash that made the sky seem nothing but a setting made for them, in which to display their wonder. They seemed so near, and their light so much more intense than ever before, that fancy suggested they saw this beautiful ship in dire distress below, and all their energies had awakened to flash messages across the black dome of the sky to each other, telling and warning of the calamity happening in the world beneath. Later, when we lay still on the sea, waiting for the day to dawn or a ship to come, I remember looking up at the perfect sky and realizing why Shakespeare wrote the beautiful words he puts in the mouth of Lorenzo. "Jessica, look how the floor of heaven is thick inlaid with patines of bright gold. There's not the smallest orb which thou beholdest, but in his motion like an angel sings, still choiring to the young-eyed cherubims. Such harmony is in immortal souls. But while this muddy vesture of decay doth grossly close it in, we cannot hear it." But it seemed almost as if we could that night. The stars seemed really to be alive and to talk. The complete absence of haze produced a phenomenon I had never seen before. Where the sky met the sea, the line was as clear and definite as the edge of a knife, so that the water and the air never merged gradually into each other and blended to a softened, rounded horizon, but each element was so exclusively separate that where a star came low down in the sky near the clear-cut edge of the waterline, it still lost none of its brilliance. As the earth revolved and the water edge came up and covered partially the star, as it were, it simply cut the star in two, the upper half continuing to sparkle as long as it was not entirely hidden and throwing a long beam of light along the sea to us. In the evidence before the United States Senate Committee, the captain of one of the ships near us that night said the stars were so extraordinarily bright near the horizon that he was deceived into thinking that they were ship's lights. He did not remember seeing such a night before. Those who were afloat will all agree with that statement. We were often deceived into thinking they were lights of a ship. This beautiful description was written by Lawrence Beasley in his book, The Loss of the Titanic and Its Lessons. Beasley, who lived from 1878 to 1967, retired from his position as a science teacher in England when at age 34 he boarded the SS Titanic to go for a holiday in the States. He had been recently widowed and left at home his young son. His account of the epic disaster is widely regarded as one of the fairest and most comprehensive of its kind. Beasley was later portrayed in the classic Titanic film, A Night to Remember. This book is listed by the Gutenberg Project as in the public domain in the United States and is available as a free text from the Gutenberg Project. It's also available free for the Kindle from Amazon.com and at a small price for the Nook from Barnes & Noble. You can also purchase printed copies from booksellers. The background music I chose here was by Gary Lamb at the keyboard and featuring Karen Bentley on the violin. For more information about Mr. Lamb's music, go to www.garylamb.com.